Let's pray. Father, thank you now for your word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be together tonight. Lord, I pray now as we read your word and study together, I pray the Holy Spirit of God be our teacher. Teach us things we need to know and we need to apply to our lives tonight. Thank you for all you have done in our lives, all you have done here. And Lord, we just continue, Lord, to have your hand upon this place. God, that people might be saved, people might be encouraged, and your children, Lord, might live for you every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 17 says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Now, at the beginning of this chapter, we know that Jesus was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And Satan tried to trip Jesus and all this as the God-man he was. And every time he did, Jesus came back to Satan with the Word of God. The Word of God. And we see he was victorious over that by just using the Word of God. It shows us the power that there is in the Word of God. If we want to defeat Satan or anything that we're facing in our life, God encourages us to use the Word of God, to quote it out loud. You know, there's something about doing that. There's something about singing these old songs sometimes, you know, that we sing every Sunday, just about every once in a while. When we're down and out, sing a song. Lift up Jesus and he'll lift up you, that's for sure. But we see here, after his temptation there, you know, he defeated the devil. Then we begin in verse number 17, as Jesus begins now his public ministry. He's about 30 years old. The Bible says that he began to preach to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I want to give you my topic tonight. It's a little bit strange, but just bear with me. You'll get to it a little later on. I want to give you this thought tonight. Lost in the fog. Lost in the fog. Now, all of us have been in fog. Fog is a dense mist. It's something that is very dangerous. It's very powerful, too. When you try to go in the fog, travel in the fog, you know how dangerous it is. My wife and I were going to a wedding one time years ago on 95 Highway. We were going to South Carolina. And we had to go on a Saturday. We got up early that morning, and it was so foggy. We couldn't hardly see our car out in the yard, but we know we had to go. So we started out, and we went down to got on 95 Highway going south on there, and we met with the rest of the people that were going to go to eat breakfast, and we all go on the road and left. And we're probably going maybe, I don't know, 10 or 15 miles, and we're going on 95 Highway now. We're going on the southbound lane, okay? And all of a sudden, we saw two headlights coming towards us on the same lane that we were on. And all of a sudden, we see the car jump by us. He was in the right lane. Thank God we were in the right lane. If we hadn't been, we'd had a wreck. But I mean, fog sometimes is a dangerous thing, is it not? Uh-huh. It's dangerous. Also, we know it's very powerful. You know, you've witnessed days in your life, it was being foggy up to 9, 10 o'clock every day. If the fog can block out the sunlight, it's powerful. It's powerful. So fog is a very powerful and a very dangerous thing. Now, also tonight, I want us to use the word fog in this way. Fog, I want to define it this way. Fog tonight is anything that clutters our focus on God's plan for our lives. Anything that clutters our focus on our God's will for our life. Now, we see here, this passage of scripture here, that Jesus, he began his ministry. He was traveling. He went on to the Sea of Galilee, and he found two brethren there fishing. They were fishermen. And we see that he spoke to them and said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Now, how many of you guys like to fish? Maybe a few. I'd like to fish, too, if I could, but I don't have the patience to fish, to be honest with you. If they'll jump on my hook, I'll stay there. But they don't, I'm ready to go somewhere else. But anyway, we see here Jesus is talking to two men that are fishermen. Now, can you imagine why would Jesus call fishermen to work for him? Fishermen. You know, someone said fishing is a jerk on one end of the line waiting for a jerk on the other. How true that is. How true that is. I can jerk this end, but ain't nothing jerking that end on my line. But anyway, we see it's the art. These are art by casting when it comes to fishing. There's a lot of learning to do, a lot of practicing to do when it comes to this thing about fishing. It's not only a parallel between the fishermen of men and the fishermen for men. A fisherman for fish and a fisherman for men, okay, as we look at this tonight. We know that adventure in fishing is wonderful. We see it's a contest, really, between our abilities and our talents when we get out there and try to fish. We see this is maybe why Jesus, he approached eight fishermen with his first disciples. Eight of his first disciples were fishermen. And we see here, those were simple Galilean people, men out here. They were rough. They were rough men because to be a fisherman, you know, it's hard work, it's weathered in the wintertime, and summertime it's hot, and all this. But these men all had Jewish roots, their background, so to speak. And we see they were filled with passion. We also see they were presented now with challenges in their new life if they followed Jesus. But fishermen like challenges, you know? They like to be challenged, you see. And so here we are. These hardworking men will soon give up their career now as Jesus asked them to follow him and to catch a vision of the ministry that Christ has for them. Christ is going to put these men to work. He's going to put them to work for him. Now, why does Jesus relate so well? Why does he relate so well to fishermen and people on the outdoors? He was with them constantly, outdoors with people. He was out on the boat preaching to people. He related to people outside. He related to the fishermen here. Fishermen are a unique breed of people. They're most likely rarely understood. You can't understand them sometimes because of what they say. More often than not, fishermen are considered a little bit odd. I'm sure you've heard a lot of fishermen tell a fisherman's story, right? And they'll tell how big they are. And of course, they're going to exaggerate how big they are, you know. But anyway, they're odd people a little bit. But yet here we find Jesus is using them. Likewise, fishers of men, soul winners, I should say, also bear the same title as being odd today. It's not too many people that go out there visiting today. They say that 10% of fishermen catch 90% of the fish. 10% of fishermen catch 90% of the fish. They also say that less than 10% of church members today even try to go soul winning. Less than 10% of people in the church even try to go soul winning today. What a shame that is. We see here a parallel now between the fishermen and disciples. Between the fishermen and disciples. We see here, first of all, a fisherman is adventurous. He adventures out. He goes out hoping to get something. We also see he explores. He looks at the waters. He knows where to go. Fishing is more than just getting on a boat and riding around. There's a lot to it. You got to know where to go. You got to know when to go. And you got to know what kind of bait to use and all that in order to be able to catch fish. There's a work to it. A disciple of Christ is never content with his routine. Someone that goes out soul winning every week, he's never completely content until God helps him to see somebody get saved. Then you're happy. Then you're happy. I had a joy this morning. I walked up to the other building up here after church, and walking there, my wife was up there and all. And I heard that somebody got saved. Amen. And I walked on up there, and in a few minutes, this lady came out, this young lady with a worker with her. And I saw her coming out there, and I saw some tears in her eyes, and I just stopped and said, what happened to you today? She said, I got saved. Amen. Amen. She got saved. Amen. Thank God for that today. A young person, a girl named Nicole, I believe. She got saved, and I thank God for that. But, the person that goes soul winning, he's never content until he sees somebody get saved. You know, and it seems like it's harder than ever today, is it not? Do you have anybody who would just read the words to you, would you? You know, but thank God for that. But we see here that fishermen are passionate, and they spend countless hours of preparation to go fishing. Well, likewise, fishers are men. Also, disciples, we see we are also, as we focus on our mission and going out and trying to win people to Christ, we see we have to dedicate and be real. Dedicate ourselves to that and be real. You know, it's something that you're not going to do today and not do tomorrow. You have to do it all the time. Have to do it all the time. And thank God for that. Fishermen are also people that are very knowledgeable. They're skilled in what they do. They train themselves. They've been trained to do what they do and how to fish. We also see a disciple of a fisher of men. We realize that the sinful environment in which they live and work. And we realize also that we have to devote ourselves to much prayer and study in order to be prepared to go out and talk to people about the Lord today. More so than ever, folks, because people today don't want to hear what you have to say. I mean, you go out and try it, you'll know what I'm talking about. But we had to pray. We had to ask God to give us wisdom. God give us direction of which way to go and what to say when we do go. We also see that fishermen are eager to share knowledge and their experience. Fishermen like to share what they've done, you know, what has been accomplished, you know, how many fish they caught and all this, you see, and their skills and how they did it and all that, what kind of bait they used, what kind of hooks they used, all these things, they want to do that. Excuse me. Fishermen, disciples also, on the other hand, are interested in sharing the joy of the Lord and Savior with others. Folks, if you're saved tonight, I think probably everybody here is, we have the privilege and the joy of sharing what God has done for us to other people. May God help us to do it. They need it. They need to hear it. They need to hear how wonderful it is to be a child of God, to be a child of God. We also see fishermen catch fish. Fishermen catch fish. Disciples don't just fill a pew on Sunday morning. If that's all disciples do, if that's all the Christians do, why, how sad it is. We need to do more than that, you see. We're to seek and catch others for Christ. Catch others for Christ. That's why we're here, folks, to try to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. They say there are some 600 million plus fishermen in the United States. Yet there are over 200 million plus people wondering why they're so excited about what they do. Why are they excited about fishing? Well, likewise, we see, you know, this is the way it is with winning people to Christ. We see, I've learned something about fishing as I've been studying this. First of all, do you know what the first fish you catch is called? As far as a fisherman? The keeper. You keep the first one you catch. Because, see, you don't want to go home. You don't want to go home skunked, do you? You want to take at least one home with you, okay? Well, see, after you catch the first one, then you catch another one, then you have a mess. I mean, that's enough to eat, you know? I don't mean the wrong other mess, but you have enough to eat when you have two fish. So anyway, we see. Now, let's look at some principles from the Bible about fishermen and how we can use it in catching fish for men. In chapter 4 here of Matthew, we look at this. First of all, Bible principles a fisherman can use in catching fish and men. We'll see, first of all, in verse number 20. We see now, we'll go back up and read verse 9. And he said unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. That's Jesus told Peter and Andrew that. And they straightway left their nets. So we'll see the first principle here in fishing for men is we must make that decision. We have to make a decision. He said, the Bible says they straightway left their nets. They left their nets. Making a decision. We have to tell ourselves, I want to be the best fisherman I can be. I want to be the best soul winner I can be. We have to make a decision. Just like you got saved. Now, I know God saves us by his grace. But until we decided to call upon him, make that choice, he could not and he would not save us. Amen? He wouldn't do it. We had to call upon him first. Well, likewise, to be a fisherman of men, we have to make that decision. These men made a decision to follow Jesus. They made a decision to leave their career behind and follow him. Be a fisher of men. To catch men now, you see. So first of all, we had to tell ourselves. And telling ourselves to be a fisher of men, there's things that we're going to have to, it's going to cost us something, first of all. It's going to cost us a lot of things to be fishers of men and go soul winning. It's also going to cost us time. Time. It takes time to go out and knock on doors. But you know, God gives us the time we have, doesn't he? And we ought to use some of that time for him. Some of that time for him. So we see that fishing for men, it costs time. It costs efforts also. It takes efforts to go soul winning. Just like it takes effort for you to be at church at night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. It takes effort to be able to get here and to come. And thank God tonight you're here. But this thing about catching men, it takes effort. It takes a lot of study, too. Study. Memorize the scriptures. Being able to quote verses. But the best thing to do is be able to know where to open the Word of God and share verses with people that you talk to. Because they'll believe the Bible more than they will you when you read the Bible to them. So we see here, this is the first principle, that we must make a decision. We must decide. These men made a decision. They said they left their nets and straightway they followed. They left their nets. But notice also, not only do we must make a decision, also we must seek out a real pro. Seek out a real pro. Whatever you want to do in your life, if you'll find somebody that is doing what you want to do, if you'll follow them, understand them, watch them, how they do what they do, then you can know how to do it. We notice also in this verse 20, it says, not only and straightway they left their nets, what's the next three words? And followed him. Who did they follow? Jesus. They followed Jesus. Would you not consider Jesus a pro at soul winning? I would. He knows how to do it. You see, there's information, there's techniques beyond these disciples that they need to know. And they can learn that by following Jesus, looking at him, watching him, what he does, watching how he does what he does. We see here, they seek out a pro to do what you want to do. A disciple is a learner, a pupil, a student, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here these two men have made a step out to do just that. A disciple also must have a certain attitude. Our attitude must be right. Must be a positive attitude for there to be results in what we're doing for the Lord. May the Lord help us to have the attitude. A disciple also produces growth and evidence of maturing in wisdom and in judgment as he grows for the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, we see in these verses right here that Jesus was asking each fisherman to follow and to believe him. That's what he was doing. Believe me and follow me, he says. And it says, if you do that, what is he going to do for them? He's going to make them fishers of men. He's going to give them a ministry if they will follow him. He's going to give them a work to do if we will follow him. Listen, there's a work for all to do, folks. If you're saved tonight, God wants you to be a person to catch men, and be a soul winner as you go out day by day. A true disciple will have a sincere belief and resulting actions. A sincere disciple, a follower of the Lord, there will be action after they're doing what they're doing. Unlike a fisherman who catches his fish merely for something to eat or to brag about, we know that the disciple, our concept to work as a disciple is to learn about Jesus and tell others about Jesus. Unlike fishing for fish, it is never out of season to soul win. It is out of season sometimes to fish. But when it comes to soul winning, it's never out of season. It's always the right time. You know, sometimes we may ask the question, when is the best night of the week to go soul winning? You name a night, that's it. You know, there's never a bad time to go soul winning. There's never a bad place to go soul winning either, no matter where we go out in the world. And we realize this is very necessary. So we see here, from the first century, discipleship worked and it's working right on today. That is following Jesus, just like these men left their nets to follow Jesus and become soul winners. You see that? They went out and taught others what they learned. They began to teach others what they learned from Jesus. And that's what we all need to do. Fishing for fish is pulling fish out of life to death. Fishing for fish is pulling fish out of life to death. But fishing for men is pulling them out of death into life. Death into life. See, we're giving them a new life. Yeah. And when a person has accepted Christ as their Savior, there's joy all over them. Just like there was that young lady this morning. She was happy. She was rejoicing because now she knew Christ and she had a new life. She has a new life now. So we see now is the day of salvation, Jesus says. Tomorrow is too late. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Now, but the key is this, when it comes to soul winning, what keeps us on track? What's going to enable us to be able to keep doing that, you see? I said that my title was Lost in the Fog. You know, I'm afraid sometimes that we as Christians are lost in the fog when it comes to soul winning. What do you mean, Brother Keith, lost in the fog? Lost in the fog. Well, what is the fog here? I said that fog is anything that clutters our focus on God's will for our life. Now, all of us know that God would have us to tell others about Jesus, don't we? He wants us to, all of us. But sometimes there's fog in our minds to lose our focus upon the real reason why what God has for our life. You know, the most important thing you and I can do in our lives is to do what God wants us to do. One of the fogs that I believe that is in people's minds when it comes to being a soul winner is materialism. Materialism. Folks, we're hooked on that today. Whether you want to admit it or not, we want everything we can get out of the world, do we not? Materialism. And when our minds is wrapped up with materialism, we're not going to be focusing upon soul winning. We're not going to be focusing upon what God really wants us to do and why we're here in this world. So we see, first of all, there's a fog of materialism. To make all you can get and count all you get and buy what you want to buy. We're caught up in that, folks. We're a generation that the world offers so much to us today that we're caught up in this thing of materialism, getting what we want to get. We'll do anything to work as long as we can, as hard as we can, to get what we want to get. We also see another thing about that we're in the fog about is our job or career. Our job and career. You know, Don't become a pastor, don't become a preacher, don't become a missionary because you're not going to make any money. You ever heard that? I have. I hear it all the time. Why are we here? Are we here in this world to make money? Are we in this world to live for God? We have to make that decision. We have to make that choice, you see. You know, it's not God's will for everybody to be a scientist or a professor or whatever. But whatever God's will is for my life, whatever God's will is for your life, you ought to be doing that. And I'm going to promise you this. If God has called you to do something, I know this from experience, if God has called you to do something, you can run as long as you want to run, but you're going to be miserable. Amen. You're going to be miserable. Until you say, Lord, yes, Lord, I want to do this. I'm going to do this because I know you called me to do it. If it's teach the Sunday school class, if it's the pastor, missionary, it doesn't matter what it is. Don't run from God. You can't. You can't get away from him, you see. But we know it's God's will for all of us to tell people about the Lord. There's some other fog is things that create an illusion of happiness. There's things in this world that we look at it. You know, if I had that, I'd be happy. I want that. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to get that. It's going to make me happy. But what happens? You work hard. You get the money. You buy it. You're happy for maybe 1 or 2 days and it becomes an old thing. It's like a child getting something for Christmas new, you know. It don't take long for that new thing to become an old thing, does it? Well, likewise, we see that that's that fog in that we have in our lives today of thinking that the creed illusion of happiness. Happiness, really, folks, is in the Lord. That's the only happiness there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's also issues that entrap and distract us from following the Lord Jesus Christ. Things that entrap us. and also that distract us from following Jesus. Let's don't get caught up in the fog. Let's don't get caught up in materialism. Let's don't get caught up in our career and our jobs. Let's don't get caught up today, folks, in things that we think are going to make us happy. Let's don't get caught up today in issues that entrap us and distract us from doing what God wants us to do. Because we're not going to be happy until we do what God wants us to do. I guarantee you that. Lost in the fog. Lost in the fog. We see these are helps now. We've got some helps that God has given us when we get in the fog to get out of the fog. What are some things he tells us? What are some things that God has provided for us to get us out of that? First of all, we see the Bible, the Word of God. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." You know, when we get caught up in things that we ought not be caught up in, we see that God has given us the Bible. The Bible is like a map, guides and directs our lives if we read it and we study it, see. The only thing we need in our lives is the Bible, to be led by God, you see. We see that there helps, the Bible helps us understand three things. First of all, the Bible helps us understand where we have been, where we are, and where we're going. Now, I don't know about you, but those are three major important things in our life, is it not? I'm thankful I know where I came from. I'm thankful I know where I've been, in other words. I'm thankful I know where I am, and I'm thankful I know where I'm going. These are very important things in our life, to know that. And God has given us the Bible to show us that, to teach us that, to help us. When we get in the fog of life, get lost in the fog of life, you see. And God helps us with that by the Word of God. Helps we have here a light that illuminates our course through stormy ways. The Bible will lead us through stormy things in our life. You know, we all have afflictions sometimes. And thank God that whenever we're afflicted physically, we have the Word of God to read and gain strength from it. And know that God is going to go with me through this, whatever I'm facing in my life. We see the Bible as an internal guidance system in our lives. You know, Thy Word, he says in Psalm 119:11, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee." The Bible guides us if we read it and study it. The Word of God that we put in our heart will guide us in our lives every day and show us what we ought to do. James tells us we ought to be doers of the Word and not just hearers only. When we read the Word of God, we see that. It does very little good, however, unless we follow the Bible. It's one thing just to read the Bible instead of the Bible, but we need to follow the Bible in our life. And God will use that to encourage us when we get lost in the fog of life. Things we ought not to be doing, things that are not should be first in our life. Well, also, God has also given us not the Bible, but He's given us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that lives within us to enable us to walk daily with Him and live for Him. The Holy Spirit is our inner compass, if you please. Our inner compass, we see, is to guide our conscience in Romans 9, verse 1. Our conscience. We also see, the Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. He alone will guide us and show us our life or how He wants us to live." You see, Holy Spirit enables us to face the challenges that we have before us. You know, it's probably not one person in this room tonight that is not facing some kind of challenge in your life. We all are. But I'm thankful that we have the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us to give us that assurance that God is with us. He's with us as we go through it. He's going to be with us until we get out of it. And He's going to be with us when we do get out of it, whatever we're facing in our life tonight. We see here, we should never assume the responsibility of the Holy Spirit. Let Him do His work in us. Let Him speak to us and through us and show us what we ought to be doing in our lives. We see that Holy Spirit is a still, quiet voice that points us in the right direction every day. Which way we should go, what we should do. You know, I'm glad that we have that guide in our life. That is the Holy Spirit of God to direct us and show us what we ought to be doing, you see. We also see the Holy Spirit energizes us for service. Give us that power to do what we do for God. We need power to do something for God. And that power comes from the Holy Spirit of God. So we see we have the Bible. We have the Holy Spirit to help us when we get in this fog that we're caught up into in this world. We also see how prayer. We have prayer. We can pray. Aren't you glad that we have the opportunity to pray to God? We can communicate with Him anytime, anywhere. And know He's there to hear us anytime. We can share with God our concerns, our fears, our requests, our needs, whatever we can, whatever we have in our heart, we can share it with God. And we know He does hear and answer prayer. We can share things with friends we have. But the closest friend we have is Jesus. And we can always share everything with Him. And we know when we share things with God and with Jesus, well, we know He's going to answer our prayers. He's going to answer our prayers one way or the other. See, like a fisherman, a foghorn helps him to direct himself back to port where the Holy Spirit directs us. He directs us in our lives if we allow Him to. Christ withdrew Himself from the crowd to pray, did He not? He got away to pray. Christians, we need to withdraw from the crowd to pray also. We need to do that, as Christ did. Jesus here gave the disciples a model prayer. He didn't give them the model prayer just to have a model prayer. He gave them the model prayer to teach them to pray, like He prayed, like He prayed. And we need to be praying like He did also. See, prayer should bring our will into God's will, whatever it is, when we pray. You know, the Bible says, delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Well, that's exactly what that verse means. You don't just pray and ask God for what you want, but if you delight yourself in the Lord, the Holy Spirit will enable you to ask God for things that you really need and not just what you want. See, it'll be according to God's will then. We also see that prayer is cooperating with the purpose of God, cooperating with God's purpose for our life every day. May the Lord help us tonight to realize sometimes we get in a fog. We get in the fog of this world, materialism, our careers, you know, things that will make us happy, we think. But all these things, folks, they're just things out there to clutter up our minds and lose our focus on what God's purpose is for our life. What is God's will for your life tonight? Do you know? Are you praying? Are you seeking what God's will for your life? Listen, I say again, you can't run from God. You can't run from God. If you do, you're going to be sorry. We also see that God has given us Christian fellowship, to help us when we get lost in the fog, so to speak. Faithful and encouraging friends can strengthen us to face the storm that we have to face. I'm so glad that we can call one another, and we can know one another, we'll pray for one another, whatever it is. Has God ever laid somebody on your heart to pray for some reason? You know why? All of us, I think, have gone through that. I'm thankful that God uses this fellowship one with another every week here to realize that brothers and sisters have needs, and God is the only one that can provide those needs. We also see that fellow believers hold us accountable, you know. I've asked somebody to pray for me, you know. And the next week I see them again, and they say, has God answered your prayer? See, they make us accountable when we do talk to Him about what we are talking about, you see. With Christ Himself being Lord prevents us from sinking, from thinking. For without Him, we can do nothing, folks. Without Him, we can do nothing, you see. We see in every circumstance we face every day, we need the Lord. Why? Well, we need the Lord. I want you to turn over now to Psalm chapter 23. Right quick, like, we'll close out. All of you know this passage of Scripture. But I want you to look here at Jesus, how disciples can become more effective in preparation and presenting the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, how we can become more effective. We see here that when we look at the life of Jesus, we see Him as always, always balanced, He's rested, He's focused, and He's mindful always of God's power upon Him. And we see here in this, just some things we need to focus upon. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. We need to realize that. He should be the preeminence of our thinking all the time. Now, I know you've got to work. I know that. But we need to think more on Christ than we do Father. We don't think enough about him, on him. He is truly worthy shepherd, is he not? The Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. I hope he's your shepherd tonight. We see that. We also see he is the sovereign Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What a blessing to know that tonight of who he is. We should remember that Jesus is Lord. When we're going through a situation in life, remember that Jesus wants to be Lord of your life. Now, it's one thing to be saved. That's another thing to let God be the Lord of your life. Control your thinking. Control your life every day, you know, in every situation you face. So remember that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. We also remember in verse 23. Verse 23 says, he restored my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We also need to remember this, and we all need to hear this, the importance of rest. The importance of rest. Probably the average American today does not get enough rest. We live in a fast-lane world, don't we? It's go, 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 go. You know? But I'm going to tell you, we go long enough, the car is going out of gas. You know that? It's going out of gas. Someone said we need to come aside unless we come aside, come apart. And sometimes that's true. You see, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Again, look at Jesus. Often he withdrew himself from the multitude out to physically rest and pray. Physically rest and pray. You see, rest should be a high priority for all of us. What does it do? Number one, it reduces stress. Rest will reduce stress in your life. If we rest. How many hours a night do you rest? How many hours a night do you sleep? See, if we don't get the proper rest, we're going to be stressful. We're going to be full of things, anxieties, and all this. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I'm glad to know that also. Whenever we don't rest, we begin to deteriorate. We begin to fall apart. Because our bodies does that. Good disciples are rested disciples. Rested, full of energy, and ready to go. Jesus says here, the Bible says here in Psalm 23, he says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Sometimes we just need to stop and rest. Stop and rest. I think that's why sometimes God sends storms, sometimes God sends rain, sometimes he sends snow. He sends all these things sometimes to get us to focus on resting instead of just going and doing all the time. We also see in Psalm 23, verse 2, says, he leads me beside the still waters. Remember that spiritual refreshment is vital. Spiritual refreshment is vital in our lives as children of God, you see. He leadeth me. Oftentimes, though, we try to measure effectiveness of our work according to the volume of activity. And that's not true. That's not true. You can be busy as a bee and accomplish nothing. You know? When we do something, we need to realize that we're doing it for the Lord. In preparing to minister, we forget sometimes to seek out the quiet waters of life. The quiet waters of life. We need to come aside and rest for the work that God's called us to do. We're deteriorating, please. Every day, I am dying. You know that? Every day, you are dying. And we can hasten that if we're not careful by getting too busy. Too busy. God wants his people to rest. He don't want us to be so busy that we're going to fall out. He wants us to rest some. He wants us to rest some, you see. Most of us, again, I said, are in the fast lane of life. The fast lane of life. And that's always not good, not good always. You know how foolish it is for us to ignore, I'll put it this way, the pressure gauge that God has given us to help us to rest. You know when you need the rest. Your body will tell you. My father-in-law told me many years ago, listen to your body. Listen to your body. Your body will tell you when to rest, folks. You'll listen. You'll listen to you. I'm tired. You need to rest. You need to rest, you see. We need to take spiritual refreshment seriously, folks. spiritual refreshment, seriously, and get out of the fog. Get out of the fog. And last but not least, we see here in verse 23, the last part of that verse, He restores my soul, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, you see. Remember that God does direct us, and He guides us. When Christ is the center of our life, our desire is to follow His prescription for wellness. Whatever He wants us to do, we'll be willing to do it. Our spirit is sensitive to His guidance. Our spirit bears witness with God's spirit that we're saved, amen? And our spirit should draw witness also to what He wants us to do. Our spirit is sensitive. Christ, our shepherd, will guide us every day. He'll guide us in the path of righteousness. He will lead us. He will direct us, no matter where we are tonight. See, followers of Christ, we need to prepare for opportunity to share the good news with others. We have to be ready. And if we're not rested, we're not going to be ready. We're not going to be ready, you see. Presentation is very critical when you present the gospel to somebody that's lost. A disciple must share a message, when he does, of truth balanced with understanding whenever he presents that, and love. We must prepare ourselves. We must prepare ourselves with prayer to have wisdom and knowledge on each of our casts. Every time we put the gospel out there, we need to have those things in our mind. We need to understand what we're going to say. We need to be prepared by praying and having wisdom from God to do what He wants us to do. So we see here tonight, as we look, the lost in the fog. God has given us things to enable us, help us. He's given us the Bible. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us prayer. He's given us Christian fellowship to help us to get through things in life that we alone cannot do. Aren't you glad we have God as our source of strength and help? I am. I'm glad He's always there to help us and to show us what He wants us to do in our lives. May the Lord help us tonight as we focus upon these disciples here that Jesus called out and said, follow me. And they left their nets and they followed Christ. Are we following Him tonight? Are we following the Lord tonight? Or are we doing what we want to do? Is what I want to do more important than what God wants me to do? I don't think so. May God help us tonight. We have a leader, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now are we following Him? Are we following Him to be fishers of men? Fishers of men. Men, women, boys, and girls are dying every day and going to hell. God help us to realize that we need to be reaching them for Christ. Father, thank you tonight for your word. Well, thankful for your life. Lord, how you have certainly been an example for us and how we are to live. And Lord, we're thankful tonight, Lord, for you even seeking out fishermen, Lord, to be your disciple. How, Lord, it helps us to realize, Lord, that whoever you call, or whatever job you call them to do, Lord, you will enable them to do it if they'll just come and trust you and look and ask for your guidance in their life. Lord, help us not to get caught up in this world, in the fog of life, things of this world. But Lord, help us to focus tonight. What is God's will for my life? Am I doing that? Am I doing what God wants me to do? Or am I doing what somebody else wants me to do? God, I pray tonight you help us all. We need help every day. We're thankful for the sources that you provided to help us as we face every day. Now, Lord, dismiss us with your love tonight. Have your will and way in our hearts and lives. God, we'll thank you for what you want to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.